Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 442. I'm David Elliott, and I'm still hoping this podcast becomes the most popular thing on the internet. More popular than, cute kitty cat photos. But fat chance of that happening. I'll settle for being more popular than, walrus sex videos. But, well, fat chance of that happening too. Have you ever seen walrus sex videos? They're very compelling. Today, the 442nd issue of the Fantastic Four is Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 13, from January 1999, I, Ronin, by Chris Claremont and Salvador LaRocca. Our story begins with the Fantastic Four having breakfast at the Baxter Building. Reed asks Johnny how his classes are going at college, and Johnny mentions his roommate, Wyatt Wingfoot. So clearly this story takes place in the past. And just to pound that point home into the ground, Claremont has been talking about Cal Ripken's attempt to break Lou Gehrig's streak of consecutive games played. Not that I have any idea of when that happened. I know more about Stephen Hawking, who has broken Lou Gehrig's streak of consecutive days lived with Lou Gehrig's disease. Just then, Ronan the Accuser crashes through the roof. Ronan is an old FF villain who first appeared back in issue 65. He's also one of the luckiest FF villains in that his movie rights aren't owned by Fox. How did that happen? So he crashes through the roof, saying, "Once more we meet, Terrans." Why do they call him Ronan the Accuser? Because he accuses the FF of crimes against the Kree Empire, and the punishment is death. I'd hate to see Ronan's Twitter account. He's gonna be going crazy, accusing people of being racist, accusing people of being homophobic and transphobic. He'll be right at home on Twitter. Actually, I just had a look. There's tons of people on Twitter calling themselves Ronan the Accuser. So anyway, Ben says, "Think again, chump," and leaps at Ronan, but he gets zapped in the chest by Ronan's hammer, knocking Ben through the wall and killing him. Reed tries to tell Ronan that Kree law doesn't apply on Earth, but Ronan doesn't care. He sticks his thing on Reed's chest. It's kind of like a black hole grenade. It creates a localized black hole and starts sucking Reed inside, killing him. Boy, that device isn't the only thing that's sucking in this issue. Sue batters Ronan in the back with an invisible force field, but he gets up and he zaps her with a weapon that accelerates her aging process. She quickly turns into an old woman, and then into a decrepit woman, and then into a skeleton. Kind of like Angelina Jolie over the last 10 years, but only in a matter of seconds. Then there's only the Human Torch left, and I really don't understand why he's just standing there watching his teammates get defeated one after the other. But then he finally decides to do something. He flies toward Ronan. Ronan creates a suction of air, pulling all the oxygen away from Johnny, extinguishing his flames, and choking him to death. He collapses on the floor. Ronan stands over him triumphantly. And that's it. The Fantastic Four are dead. End of the comic. End of the podcast. I can go do something else now. Maybe I'll do that Speedball the Masked Marvel podcast I've always wanted to do. So goodbye, everybody. Thanks for... Oh, wait, there's more. The FF aren't dead. Oh, I turned the page. It was all just a training simulation. Ronan is on his way to Earth, and he was practicing in the holodeck slash danger room kind of thing. Now, isn't it odd that the simulation was programmed to have the FF talk about Wyatt Wingfoot and Cal Ripken Jr.? How does Ronan know about such things? Maybe Ronan is a Baltimore Orioles fan. Yeah, that's probably right. So Ronan's ship arrives in orbit over Earth, and he says, "The Kree may be humbled, but we are far from defeated. All that we held, all that we were, shall once again be ours. And every corner of the universe shall hear the lamentations of our enemies, as we build a pile of their corpses to the very pillars of heaven itself, beginning with the Fantastic Four. Wow. What an a-hole. So back in New York, the mail carrier arrives. Her name is Billy, which is a form of Willie, which is short for Wilhelmina, last name Lumpkin. Yeah, it's Willie Lumpkin, but only a sexy blonde woman, not an old man. Leave it to Chris Claremont to turn Willie Lumpkin into a hot chick. I guess she's supposed to be some kind of relative of the old coot. So she stops by the FF's warehouse headquarters and sees some crazy woman in a cape standing on the roof. Billy rings the doorbell, and Ben answers, and she gives him the mail and tells him there's a crazy woman perched on the roof. Ben says that he knows. It's just a friend of Johnny's. So up on the roof, it's Alisande Stewart, but in her warrior woman persona of Caledonia, the chick with the red hair and a sword. Johnny comes up, and he's got his shirt off. It must be the red hair. I guess that put him in full-on horndog mode. He offers her a cup of hot cocoa, the way to any woman's heart. She says that she's standing watch, because she had a dream that the FF were attacked by a man with blue skin, wearing armor, and his name was Ronan, which is a very specific dream. Later, inside, the FF, along with Alisande, who's back to normal, with her black hair, Reed mentions that Franklin is freaked out because he had the same dream about Ronan. The dream they all had. Somehow, yeah, they all had the same dream about Ronan, which was very similar to the training program that Ronan was running earlier. And why are they all so calm? You would think that if they all had the same dream that Ronan was coming to kill them, that would mean one thing. Ronan is coming to kill them. But now, they're just hanging out, having a nice morning, having breakfast. Sue tells Franklin it was only a dream. Yeah. But they all had the same dream. It's not only a dream. They all had the same dream. Doesn't she understand that with Franklin's powers, it's never just a dream? What is she, stupid? Reed mentions that in the dream, just like in the training program, Ronan attacked the Baxter Building. So I guess they figure that since the Baxter Building doesn't exist anymore, they're safe. Alisande asks who this Ronan guy is. And they tell her that he's a alien from the Kree Empire who came after the FF to punish them for destroying a Kree century that was left on Earth. Later, out by a nearby school, Johnny and Caledonia are putting on a little show for some of the kids, jumping around with her sword. Johnny has flamed on and he's dodging her sword. And then a teacher comes along and breaks it up, and he tells the kids it's time for school to start. That was a completely unnecessary scene, wasn't it? So they arrive back at headquarters, and Caledonia is bragging that she beat Johnny, who, of course, could have easily burnt her to a crisp, and then she wouldn't be so full of herself. Reed tells Johnny that he got a call from the vice principal of the nearby school, and he was upset that Johnny was causing a disruption and distracting the students. Franklin says, "You got my dad in trouble, Uncle Johnny. Shame on you." But Johnny doesn't seem too concerned. Hell, he once burned down an entire university, so causing a disruption at a nearby high school doesn't seem like such a big deal. Sue tells everyone to come to her office. There's something that she wants them all to see. Ooh, she has her own office now. Look who's so important. She shows the others that when she tries to log into the database for S.H.I.E.L.D. and the database for the Avengers, their access is denied. Johnny says it's probably because everyone thought they were dead for a year. But then they try to call Tony Stark, and they get the brush off from the receptionist. So anyway, they try to call the Avengers, and they get Firestar. She's excited to be talking to the Fantastic Four, but she can't put them in contact with Carol Danvers, the former Miss Marvel, soon to be a star of her own motion picture, which will most likely be pretty good. And Firestar can't tell them anything about Ronan, the villain in a recent motion picture, which was pretty good. And on comes the Vision, featured in a recent motion picture, which was pretty good. But he can't tell anything to the Fantastic Four, stars of an upcoming motion picture, which will most likely be pretty bad. Oh, poor Fantastic Four. So the FF hang up, and Sue says it seems like someone out there doesn't like them. Johnny mentions that there have been a lot of spacecraft being launched lately from Cape Canaveral, secret missions to the S.H.I.E.L.D. space station, and to the moon, and a permanent facility is being constructed right outside the blue area of the moon. They ask Johnny how he knows all this, and he says that he's been hanging out at the computer and astrology lab at the high school next door. Do we really want to know why Johnny has been hanging out at the local high school? Well, I think I have an idea. And then Reed somehow surmises that the Four Freedoms Plaza is being used as a landing platform for the Kree. That seems like information he just pulled out of his ass, unless he's been hanging out at the local high school too. That makes sense. So that night, on top of Four Freedoms Plaza, there are some Kree prisoners in shackles, and NYPD cops there, along with people from the U.S. military and agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, sorry. Whenever I hear that phrase, I fall asleep. So, one New York City cop, Sergeant Jones, is expressing concern that they're using this skyscraper in the middle of the most populated area in America as some kind of alien landing strip. You know, Devil's Tower in Wyoming would be a much better place for this kind of thing. There's some bright lights, and someone yells out, "The alien! He's here!" So the alien teleports down, and surprise, surprise, it's Ronan. You know, the accuser. And befitting his name, he accuses the humans of being credulous simpletons. People start shooting at Ronan, but it does no good. And then the Fantastic Four show up, and Ben starts trying to clobber him, and the rest of the FF attack him at the same time. Yes, at the same time, which is a good idea. Johnny melts that big cosmic hammer that Ronan carries, and then the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents tell the FF to stop interfering with federal officers, and even Ronan thinks that's messed up. Ronan shoots Johnny with his eye beams, causing Johnny to lose control over his flames, and he has to fly up into the air and let off a big blast of Nova Strength fire. Ronan tries to zap Reed, but Sergeant Jones jumps in the way, and it kills her. Ronan grabs Johnny and Sue by the head and tells the others that if they don't submit, he's going to crush their heads like eggshells. This would be the perfect time for Reed to suggest a dance-off. But alas, Reed is not so clever. Instead, he tells Ronan that they yield. And then Ronan teleports away to the moon, taking the Fantastic Four with him. And the entire Four Freedoms Plaza, making this the third time that the FF skyscraper headquarters has been teleported into outer space. Funny how that seems to happen all the time. And this issue ends with Ronan saying, "Be proud, humans, for before you perish on this lifeless orb, you will be privileged to bear witness to the liberation of the Kree race and the fulfillment of their ultimate destiny." And that is the end of the issue. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download the other episodes at iTunes or at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. Enjoy this terrible version of Ooh Child I found from 1999. This podcast is over.
Gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Someday we'll get it together and we'll get it undone. Someday when the world is much brighter. Of a beautiful song. Someday.